You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
On this Wednesday, December 6th, we are talking Royals baseball today with Jeffrey Flanagan, our Royals reporter for MLB.com. Jeffrey, as always, we thank you for the time, and let's start here. Shohei Ohtani is going to be playing somewhere in the major leagues in 2018. That somewhere is not going to be in Kansas City. Shohei eliminating 23 teams from his search, and unfortunately for the Royals and their fans, Kansas City, one of those 23 teams. Jeffrey, I know that certain teams had some, you know, they really had some aspirations on getting this guy. Other teams at the lower end of the scale figured it was a long shot at best. So within that spectrum, where do the Royals fall here?
No chance. Is there a category for that?
Sure.
They had absolutely they had no interest. I talked to Dayton Mora last night, and I do think they actually filled out that questionnaire, but they just were never really involved because of the posting fee, and they've got enough payroll issues right now going forward that it just didn't make any sense for them. They're definitely going in a different direction than most teams, and a lot of it depends on whether or not they can sign Eric Hosmer. But I don't really see them making a massive push to, like they did last year, where they really thought they had another run at the postseason. I think this year is going to be a little bit different. But then you never know. We don't know what's going to happen at the winter meetings. The message I've got from ownership is that they're still curious about a possible run, but they just don't know. So for Ohtani, it was just never going to happen.
Yeah, it was certainly a pipe dream at best, as they've got other internal issues to sort out before even thinking about Ohtani. And again, he is not going to be a Kansas City Royal in 2018. That one you can take to the bank. Jeffrey, someone that is going to be a Royal in 2018 is Willie Peralta. He agreed to terms with the Royals the other day after spending his entire career with the Brewers organization. Now, as recently as 2014, he won 17 games. He's twice, I believe, been an opening day starter, but really fell on tough times in 2017. The ERA hovering around 8. So do you see him bouncing back? And if so, what primary role could he play for this Royals team?
Well, I think right now, and I talked to Dayton about this last night, is I think right now they see him as bullpen depth and a possible swingman for the rotation. But this is kind of typical of what Dayton and Moore and the staff do. I mean, they take a guy that, you know, the rest of baseball is kind of given up on, who still has a lot of potential. We're talking about Ryan Madsen and Joe Blanton in past years, and he's another guy who fits into that category. Still has a fastball that's 95 to 98. We know he can get hitters out. Can the Royals unlock that potential and make him a good either bullpen guy or starter again? That's the big question. But that's exactly what small market teams do. And really what the Royals have done really well over the last 5 years. So, I mean, that's the purpose of that signing. It's a very low-risk signing, 2.5 million guaranteed. So, I mean, that's not going to hurt the budget at all. If you're going to find the prototypical type of Royals signing in the offseason, Peralta is definitely it.
Yeah, I mean, he could be one of those classic change of scenery guys. You know, Peralta not getting it done in Milwaukee any longer. You know, you get a fresh start somewhere else, and you never know. I mean, I go back to Jose Bautista, who was a nobody with the Pirates for a couple years.
Oh, boy, yeah.
You know, yeah, he goes to Toronto and boom, becomes Joey Bats. And maybe a similar turnaround is in the cards for Willie Peralta, because we all know what he can do when he's on top of his game. Jeffrey, normally we don't give a lot of time to, you know, minor league signings, but this one in particular, I'm so intrigued by because of the player that it involves. A young man by the name of Terrence Gore. He's been in the big league since 2014, yet he still is seeking his first career hit, which I find astonishing. To be fair, He's only had 11 career at-bats in those four seasons in the big leagues, but that has not prevented him from stealing 21 bases, often deployed as a pinch runner in late-game situations, and obviously coming through 21 out of 25 in the stolen base department. And you got to love the fact that his career hit total matches his uniform, which is, of course, zero. So that's very fitting. As I said, he remains with the Royals on a minor league deal. And what do you see for Terrence Gore here in 2018?
Well, let's be fair. He did get a hit in spring training.
Okay.
I think it was either last year or the year before that. But, yeah, he's a fascinating story to me because he's been an impact player in the postseason. You know, a very specialist type of guy, kind of like the Washington was with the Oakland A's many, many years ago, probably before many of our listeners were even born. But he is a guy that can steal bases almost at will, and they were in a hard position with him because he was out of options. And if he going into spring training next year, if he did not make the team, they would have had to release a guy like that, and I think that was going to be very hard for Dayton Moore and his staff. So they non-tendered him and signed him back. I mean, within seconds. So. The clock has started running again on him in a good way, and I still think he has value with the organization because of his speed. And he's actually, I've had several coaches say he's gotten way better defensively than people might give him credit for. And actually last year he actually hit a little bit too. I mean, there's a famous YouTube video of him hitting home run. He can do some things that you didn't expect from him maybe a few years ago, and the Royals have certainly not given up on him. He's a player that, you know, obviously he could still make the 25-man roster coming out of spring training. We don't know. But he's got a lot of talent. And in baseball, you can't teach that kind of speed. He's just got tremendous tools in terms of that. And going forward, I think he could still be an impact player down the road.
Yeah, I mean, a guy with an 84% career stolen base success rate is going to have value for any team and find a place on any 40-man roster, and the Royals are happy that it's their roster that he will find a home on for 2018, certainly. Jeffrey, a couple items to begin to wrap up here. Mike Minor is no longer a Kansas City Royal. He signs a deal with the Rangers in free agency. Minor, after missing not one but two full seasons due to injury, comes back in a relief role with the Royals. He was terrific, a 2.55 ERA and 65 appearances. How much of a loss is this for the bullpen?
I really think it's a huge loss. I'm sure the Royals front office is going to disagree with me a little bit here, but I just thought that when Mike Minor assumed the closer's role in mid-September, when they just finally realized that Kelvin Herrera was not going to be that guy, he went 6-for-6 in save opportunities, and he became kind of the left-handed Wade Davis in my mind. 96 to 98 mile-an-hour fastball, a really shut-down type of cutter. I'm going to disagree with management here. I would have I know he signed a three-year deal. I would have given those 3 years and just said, hey, here's our left-handed closer for the near future, because maybe I overvalued him, but I really thought he was a terrific addition to the bullpen last year. You know, he was signed a two-year deal originally, and in 2016 he was hurt most of the year, but they figured out in 2017 that he could not be a starter, mainly because he got fatigued going forward, and made him a bullpen guy, and was really a difference maker. I've heard the Rangers are going to like experiment with him starting again, and I think deep down he's told me a couple times over the last 12 months that he really wants to be a starter again. But I really thought he could be a shutdown bullpen guy, either setup guy or a closer type, and I think they're going to miss him a lot more maybe than most people realize. But hey, you know, when you're a small market team, you really can't afford 3 year deals for, I'm trying to remember what he got, $24, $28, $30 million, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to position that, but he certainly did a world of, of good for the Royals bullpen in 2017.
Yeah, sure did. And like we said, after missing not one but two full seasons due to injury, the Royals gave him a shot in their bullpen, and he was exceptional. And he's going to be a good pickup for the Rangers and a big hole to fill for the Royals in that relief corps for 2018. Jeffrey, as we wrap up here, what we're doing this week with the winter meetings just days away, beginning Sunday in Orlando, taking a look back at some previous wheelings and dealings that the Royals had in past winter meetings. So the one that kind of sticks out here is back in 2012. So take us back to 5 years ago. And Dayton Moore making some very bold moves, which were perhaps contrary to what some of his comrades wanted to do or what they believed was best for the Royals at that time. But Dayton stuck to his guns and acquired some pieces that would end up being some foundational pieces for the pennant and World Series winning teams a couple years down the road.
Yeah, I just finished up a story this morning on that, and it's kind of amazing and kind of humorous to see what the mood was back 5 years ago in 2012. Dayton and his staff had built this absolutely amazing farm system. You know, you're talking about Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, and all those guys, and everybody just kind of assumed that that's how you build a winner. And I remember Dayton during that 2012 winter meetings going, hey, look, well, we've got a great farm system, but what does that really mean unless we, like, turn into wins at the major league level? And so when he was, offered the trade with Tampa Bay to get James Shields and Wayne Davis and stuff like that, a lot of people thought he was absolutely crazy for trading Will Myers, who was his top prospect. But he kept saying, hey, the reason we have a minor league system is to make the big league system better.
Right.
And so even though he took so much grief for making that trade, that was the trade. That was the turning point. And it was actually a deal that was done actually a couple of days after the winter meeting ended. But when that deal was made, that was the absolute turning point of this Royals organization. That's when they had their first winning season in 10 years in 2013. James Shields went 13-9 that year, and I think he had a 3.15 ERA. And he brought a winning culture to that clubhouse. And we all know what happened in 2014, 2015. They went back-to-back World Series. And those are the type of deals you got to make. You got to gamble and make those type of deals to make sure you get to the next level. And that's what he did. And, going into this world of our winter meetings, we might see some more, courageous deals, I'm going to put it that way, from Dayton as we go forward, because they're certainly at a crossroads and they have to make some major moves as we go forward, just to be competitive maybe in 2019, 2020.
Yeah, and I love Dayton's mentality and his approach that, you know what, we have this nice, shiny farm system, but if it doesn't get us any productivity at the major league level, what good does it do? So
exactly.
You know,
the great thing he told me back then was, hey, it's not actually it'll abolish the draft. We can always, like,
sure,
draft more people and restock the system.
Of course.
You know, I think a lot of bloggers and a lot of national media just thought, like, oh, my God, they've given up Will Myers and Mike Montgomery, and, it's over. They'll have 40 more guys to pick the next year and the year after that. So,
yep.
He's had a good sense of humor about it.
Yeah, that's why Dayton Moore does what he does and fans do what they do on their computers.
Exactly.
and post to Twitter. So it all makes sense in the end. Jeffrey Flanagan, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time, and we'll do it again soon. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals.